Okay. Yes. All right. First, let me introduce myself. I'm Steve Fuller, and I have provided a handout with those three slides. Okay, in case you were wondering, my name is not on them, but just in case we don't cover everything, because I realize I only have 15 minutes, you can contact me. I want to thank Dirk for inviting me to speak. It's not at all clear why I'm relevant to this, but I'll say it's some sense in which I might be relevant. I was involved in the European Union Framework 6 project on knowledge politics. I was the British partner, the one on converging technologies. And I think this converging technologies idea, which is very hot both in Europe and in the United States and increasingly across the world, is raising some very interesting questions about redefinitions of humanity. What does it mean to be human? Because the idea of the converging technologies agenda, generally speaking, is to enhance human performance. And what exactly does that mean? What are we trying to do here? Okay. And increasing amounts of money are being put into this, not only in the natural sciences, but also in the social sciences and the humanities as well, across the world. I've recently published an article in Innovation, in the journal Innovation, where I kind of survey a lot of this stuff in more detail. And I guess I was thinking, coming to this conference, what exactly might be the Latin American angle on this? Okay, and that's kind of the spirit in which I come into this discussion. And so the issue here is, you know, the future of humanity. And one of the things, I'm originally trained in the history and philosophy of science. And when one thinks about Latin America from the standpoint of general intellectual history, and I'm relying here a bit on Leopoldo Zeo, the Mexican philosopher, there is a sense in which the development, the intellectual development of Latin America doesn't quite imitate that of Europe. It does in many respects, but not completely. And one of the key things that often gets brought out is the lack of a Protestant Reformation. And that there is a sense in which this is one reason why modernization in Latin America has been much more strongly associated with a kind of corporate positivism that one associates with Auguste Comte. Okay, and it's still on the Brazilian flag, order and progress, the Comtean motto. Now, from a European standpoint, that's weird. Okay, but in a sense, it gives you a sense of the flavor of modernization that takes place, which always retained a kind of strong corporatist, collectivist element, both from the right and the left. Okay, so think about Marxists and Catholics here. And there's just not a lot of space for liberals and individualists and people of that kind, except as a sort of a meltdown of corporate capitalism has taken place around the world. So now people talk about liberalization all the time, but that's not the traditional kind of Latin American way. Now that's quite an interesting point in itself. Some of you who are economists or economic historians will know about the thesis of the relative advantage of backwardness by Alexander Gershenkron. And in a sense, the fact that Latin America is kind of late in the business of individualism and liberalism and so forth might pose an interesting kind of advantage when it comes to reconceptualizing humanity as a kind of collective corporate notion. Because at the moment, all of the boundaries between the human and the non-human are just dissolving. They're dissolving at the political level, and here I'm talking about things like, you know, the increasing demand for things like animal rights and rights to nature and so forth, you know, sort of as it were muscling in on territory that used to be just reserved for human beings. But also there's this sense that in terms of the distribution of our sentiments, of our affections, right, it's not at all clear that our primary concern is for other human beings, but rather it is perhaps for animals, for the land, or perhaps with machines that we spend most of our time in front of, like in this room, for example. Look at everybody. Oh, everybody here looking at a computer. It's very interesting, right? And so there's a sense in which the borders, you know, what might be the human here, is dissolving. And this is, of course, not just happening at a kind of political or moral level, but of course it is happening at the scientific level in terms of research. And several of you here are devotees of actor network theory. And of course, that as a matter, you know, of kind of methodological principle dissolves the boundaries. Okay? And so there's an interesting kind of question here about if we're talking about converging technologies for the purposes of enhancing human performance, what is the human in all this? Right? Who is involved in this? Where is this going exactly? Okay? And here it seems to me that Latin America is a kind of interesting place from which to discuss this problem. Okay? At the moment, it seems to me, the US and Europe are increasingly gravitating to what I call in one of my books, a bioliberal perspective, which is kind of like you make it up as you go along. Individuals take choices with regard to how they want to design their offspring or what kinds of, you know, research they want to engage in. Some countries say yes, some countries say no, and you're getting this kind of patchwork thing developing, basically, but no kind of principled kind of way of addressing the issue. And what we're trying to talk about with regard to converging technologies is something about the future of humanity. And if humanity still has a kind of real meaning, right, then there's a sense in which the bioliberal perspective should not seem to be sufficient. Right? It shouldn't be sufficient. But then what is the normative basis on which one promotes a concept of humanity in this day and age? Okay. How much more time do I have? I'm keeping track. How much?
You have 10 more minutes.
Oh, good. Okay. And I've got 3 slides, 5 minutes a slide. Okay. Okay, in the title of my talk, I brought up natural law, okay? And natural law means a lot of different things, and in a way, it really captures kind of what the issue is here, because natural law, of course, as a legal concept, has often been the primary rubric under which the concept of the human was protected, okay? And I want to say a little bit about the history of this concept, and in a way, kind of where we are now with this, because natural law doesn't get invoked very often in this context. If anything, natural law gets invoked in a much more diffuse kind of way. So as I say here in the beginning, the idea that there's a special kind of sanctity or dignity to human beings that perhaps gives them special kind of rights and privileges and so forth, right, does come from natural law, but it's based on a sort of metaphysical picture, right, of human beings as having been created in the image and likeness of God. So we have a kind of special status, as it were, and so special kinds of laws and obligations apply to us that don't for other animals, let's say, which are governed by different kinds of laws. Okay. However, one of the interesting things that starts to happen in the development of the concept of natural law in the 13th century is it starts to get talked about independently of its divine paternity. So we start talking about natural law in the abstract. And that's kind of the way in which we normally encounter it in the modern era. So that also allows natural law to also function eventually as the concept of physical law. Okay, as in Newton and people like that. And so you start to get this detachment of God. And what happens when you detach God is, of course, then humanity becomes as a sort of standalone notion with regard to its rights. And this is grounded in the idea that we are a special kind of species. And so the idea of inalienable rights, the kind of thing over which the modern revolutions were fought, right? Species-specific kinds of rights that are entitled by natural law because of the kinds of beings that we are. And you kind of leave God out of it, and you just talk about it in terms of the kind of species we are. Well, the problem is species essentialism got blown apart by Darwin. So the idea that there is some kind of natural unity to humanity that one can talk about, that we're the singularly rational creature, we are the singularly only creature with consciousness, we're the only creature with moral sense, right? All these things that used to distinguish us, you know, without God, but still to ourselves, right, that's been obliterated by Darwin and Darwinism, and in a sense, there's a blurring taking place at the moment. Right, so other creatures, as it were, have entitlements along these dimensions. Okay, so that blurs the concept of humanity, and of course, postmodernism, coming at it from the humanistic end, supports this view. You know, and if you're thinking about, if you want to, you know, postmodernism, Darwinism, right? There's a common link with Nietzsche. Okay, in terms of Nietzsche's influences and so forth. So this is not arbitrary. There's a sort of just general de-essentializing that has been taking place both from the science side and the humanities side over the last 150 years. And now, the human doesn't really have a clear legal status. Now, natural law has in fact been reinvented without God in recent times, but it's very much typically in the environmental context, in the ecological context. Right? And so, you know, natural law, rights to nature, rights to the land, rights to animals, and in humans, as it were, being situated in that, but not necessarily having a special status. Okay? And that seems to be the trend where natural law is going now. Now, the interesting thing, of course, is that the people who promote the idea of converging technologies, and, you know, the nanobio stuff, we're going to enhance ourselves, we're going to have all these prosthetic things, we're going to switch on genes that we hadn't switched on before, blah, blah, blah. Right? In a sense, very much moving away from that kind of sensibility that natural law has come to, right? So in other words, in a way, it is really kind of pushing the human toward the increasingly artificial, you might say. Okay, and so one might ask the question, this question gets asked a lot actually about the converging technologies agenda, is it just a Trojan horse for transhumanism? right? I mean, because obviously they're very interested in this, and they've got a whole kind of normative perspective. But it does raise an interesting kind of question, you might say, as to what exactly humanity 2.0 might be, right? Because in a sense, we're at a point where humanity's being pulled in two quite different directions. On the one hand, this reinvention of natural law that's taking place, you might say, is pulling the human back down to the level of the animal and the natural. So it's pulling against the convergent technology side of things. But on the other hand, of course, we do have the converging technologies agenda, which is telling us things like, you know, we can live longer, we can be stronger, we can pull away, as it were, from nature, you know, and maybe even pull away from our carbon existence to a certain extent by, you know, uploading the silicon chips. Okay? I mean, there's some people talking in those terms and thinking in a way we should be planning policy in that direction. So the human is being pulled apart in these two quite different directions here. Now, in the work I've been doing in this area, the question is going to be, you know, okay, what are these possible normative futures? And what I just want to do, I guess I have another 5 minutes to go, maybe? What do you think? 4 minutes? 3 minutes? I'll try to be.
4 minutes.
Okay. Well, what this is just is a list of what exactly, you know, what is the direction in which the converging technologies agenda might be taking the human. And I just list these different verbs up there because they're not all the same. They're quite subtly distinct, and I'll just run through them relatively quickly. The first one is just enhance. And this is the official word from both the National Science Foundation, which began all this stuff, and the European Union. And where enhance is just to, as it were, improve the efficiency of the way we normally do things. So you might be able to work a few years longer, right, and don't have to pull your pensions out, you know, so quickly, so that maybe we don't have an economic crisis. But you're not talking about anything terribly spooky here. But of course, there are people who are into prolonging and even reversing age-related disintegration. My apologies for the Freudian slip. I say immoralism. I meant immortalism, right? The people who think ultimately converging technologies might make us immortal. And they think that we should be working toward that, indefinite extension, which of course would cause all kinds of social problems since so much of our social structure is based on intergenerational change. Then there's this idea of transcending, whereby in some sense we genetically enhance ourselves and we actually return to the original metaphor of artificial selection on which natural selection is based, but now be quite literal about it. Julian Huxley was already talking about that under the rubric of transhumanism back in the 1940s and 50s. Okay? And that maybe this is something one might do. Then there's translate, and that's the issue of uploading yourself into a computer or something, where what becomes, you know, when you do something like that, which is what Ray Kurzweil and all these people are into, the silicon resurrection, you're identifying a human not with your carbon-based animal body, but you're really identifying it with your reasoning processes, perhaps your consciousness in some kind of sense, right? So the human has gotten a pretty specific definition, which you figure that's really what you want to extend. And all the rest of it, the arms, the limbs, whatever, you know, the stuff that hurts when you pinch it, right? That stuff is expendable. Okay, so there's an interesting kind of conception of what the human means there. Then there's, of course, incorporate. And there's a long tradition of that, and that's the idea that in some sense, the minds merge, the human condition merges in a sort of corporate structure, maybe even merging with the environment to a certain extent. Okay. And then the idea of testing. I think some people, as part of the agenda, would like human beings to think of their lives in more experimental terms, and that perhaps we should have social welfare systems that support that. So in other words, you know, we're not going to know in advance whether certain kinds of genetic treatments are going to work, but in some way we need to somehow try these things out. So maybe we encourage people to do so and provide some kind of social insurance in case things go wrong. So we, you know, encourage certain levels. You know, it's like encouraging entrepreneurship only with your own body. Okay? And there might be some people who would want to push things in that direction too. But you see, if you, regardless of which kind of route you go in, right, there's some slightly different, or in some cases, significantly different redefinitions of the human going on. Okay? And so insofar as that category still means something, it seems to me there's a very lively discussion to have because all kinds of different norms, both sacred and secular, are being kind of tested here in many different ways. And I would think that the people coming from a Latin American background might at least at the intellectual level, if not at the political level, find this a very sort of challenging kind of project to think with us. Because I think at the moment, the European and North American imagination is pretty limited on this. It is pretty much going down a pretty liberal individualistic route. and commodification and all the rest of it. I think that's kind of where we're going at the moment, unless there is some substantial normative revision taking place. And maybe some people here might be in a position to help think us through that. And I'll stop.